Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start reading at verse number 1. This has been our text for the last few weeks because we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. While you're turning there, let me say, if you are new to our church, you're a guest with us this morning, it's your first time, second time, third time, you do not have an apostolic church home, we from Apostolic Church say welcome home. We are so glad you're here. So glad you're here. So glad you're here. Well, thank you, amigo. And we have a gift for you in our cafe, which is just out these doors to the right. We have snacks, refreshments, and a gift for you. Give you a chance to get to learn more about us and us a chance to get to meet you and know you a little bit better. So if you would like to avail yourself of that, we do have a gift we'd like to give to you just as a way of saying thanks for coming and worshiping with us. Brother Fortner. We're going to have prayer for Norman. We will. We'll have prayer for Norman Oliver, Sister Rhonda. That's beautiful. Thank God for that. That's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for what he's doing for Mariah. Amen. We're going to pray for Norman Oliver. Brother Chick. Yes, he is. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise him for who he is, just for who he is. Oh, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, just for who you are. Just for who you are. Praise God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you're hungry for God, he will fill you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We're looking today at verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful. Let's pray. Let's pray for Norman Oliver. Also pray for Brother Johnny Grinnell. He's having back issues, can't make it. Sister Rita Ray is having a headache, sinus headache, can't make it to church today. Pray the Lord would minister to them. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, you're a miracle-working God. We've heard it with our own ears today. So many testimonies of how you have worked and how you do work, and for that we're so grateful. Today we pray you administer in these needs. I pray for Norman Oliver. Work a miracle in his life, Lord. Let it be for your glory. I pray he would glorify you for the miracle you're about to work in his life. Thank you for what you've done for Mariah. Thank you for what you've done for Brother Chickering. I pray, God, you administer today to Brother Johnny Grinnell that you would heal his back. I pray you administer also to Sister Rita Ray, that you would touch her and heal her and make her well today. Speak to us through your word, Lord. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear the precious word of God just as you have given it to me. I pray, help me to give it to your people today. I ask you in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. I want to mention also, if you are new to our church and unfamiliar with our schedule, we typically have Sunday night service. We don't have that tonight because it is our small groups. But on Wednesday night, we have service for our everybody from our little littles all the way up to our adults. And our adults are studying tough questions to ask about God. This coming Wednesday, I'm teaching in the chapel, Does Science Contradict the Bible? And helping us to know what science says, what the Bible says, and if those two can actually coexist one with another. So please join us. And then great testimony about Celebrate Recovery. We had another van full from Riverside who came this past Thursday night. And then several others from the community who heard about Celebrate Recovery came. And we visibly saw people moved on by the power of God. He's about to do a work in our city. He's about to deliver people from their addictions. And it will be to the glory of God. So continue to celebrate with us as we celebrate with these folks. I admit it, I have a few fears. I heard somebody say this week, and I loved it. They said, if you pray, don't have to worry. But if you worry, then don't pray. But I do have a few fears. Most of you know me well enough to know I'm scared of water. Everybody else is having a great time splashing around in the water, and my Sudoku book and I are doing just fine by ourselves on the shore. But I have another fear. I am fearful of the bargain bin. I'm not fearful I'll drown in it. I am fearful that I'll write a book that will drown in it and sell for 59 cents. I'm afraid I will write a book one day that I will spend hours and hours and hours and days on writing and editing and critiquing and touching up, and that book will end up on the bin of misfit books. That's one of my fears. That's where the store sells everything that won't sell anywhere else. That's where you can find something that's not really worth anything. You can find it in the bargain bin. And in Jesus' day, that's where you can find mercy. Mercy was buried in the bargain bin just below last year's desk calendars. Some in Jesus' day called mercy a disease of the soul. They saw mercy as a disease that needed to be cured. Roman fathers in Jesus' day could decide if their newborn sons or daughters would live or die with the flip of a thumb. They would stand there in the delivery room or in the tent or in the house, wherever. And if the Roman father didn't want another child or wanted a child, he would just put his finger down, thumb down, and the Romans would drown the baby. If he wanted the baby to live, he would put his thumb up. The Romans' hands were stained with the blood of innocent men, women, and newborns. They had no love for mercy. So when Jesus opened up his opening sermon, he disappointed everybody with this Sermon on the Mount when he starts by telling them, happy are the poor, happy are the sad, happy are the meek, happy are the hungry. And now he's really done it when he tells them, happy are the merciful. Several there in the crowd flexing their muscles and they're shaking their heads. I wish I could flex my muscles, but I can't find them. Shaking their heads and they're saying, how can he say that? How could anybody possibly believe that? The merciful aren't happy. It's the powerful who are happy. Even the vengeful are happy. They taught that mercy was a disease, but Jesus saw mercy as a cure. And 13 chapters later, Jesus' words are still echoing in Peter's ears. So Peter finally pipes up and asks Jesus the question. He says, okay, Lord, let me ask you this. Let's do a little math problem. If my brother sins against me, should I forgive him 7 times? Now, Peter thought he's being mighty merciful, very generous, because in their day, they lived in a 3 strikes, you're out world. Rabbis would taught somebody to forgive 3 times, and then you're off the hook. You don't have to forgive anymore. But Peter knew Jesus. He's more merciful than most. So he decided, let's do this. They say 3 times. I'm going to times 3 by 2 and add 1 just for good measure. Jesus is going to see me as the merciful captain of the world. He expects a pat on the back and a hearty laugh from the Lord. Oh, Pete, 7 times. Woo, you're feeling mighty magnanimous today. But that's not what happened. Jesus said, no, Peter, not 7 times, 70 times 7. Now, some translate that as 77 times or 490. But either way, whether it's 77 or 490 a day that you're supposed to forgive somebody who wrongs you, the point is clear. Forgiveness is not counted on a calculator. It comes from the heart. And while Peter stood there and counts up to 70 times 7, Jesus told this story. The kingdom of heaven was like a king who wanted to audit his accounts. He called in his servants who owed him money, and one of the servants owed him 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 was the highest number in Greek math. It'd be like saying he stole zillions of dollars from his boss. And now he owes every dollar back. And he knows how much he owes and he knows how much he has. He's overdrawn to the bank. He's maxed out on all of his credit cards. He's got a rusty Ford Taurus on the driveway, not worth anything. And he's got to pay back zillions of dollars. So as he stood in the throne room, the full weight of everything he owed fell squarely on his shoulders, and he couldn't blame the debt on somebody else. It was his signature on every one of those checks and those receipts. So as he made his way up the steps, he came up with humility, knowing exactly what was going to happen. And the king calls him in and says, "Hello, I've been auditing the books, taking a look at some things, and I realize you owe me some money. In fact, according to my last audit, you owe me zillions of dollars. And I want it. I want my money." Now, this guy knows he can't pay it back, so he falls to his knees and says, "Please, please be patient with me. I don't have it. You know I don't have it. But I'll get it somehow. I don't know how I'm going to get it, but I'll get it if you'll just be patient with me. I really don't think I can pay it back right away. Maybe I can pay it back eventually, but please be patient." The king looks at him and says, "Okay, that's how you want to play it." And he snaps his fingers, something I wish I could do but can't. And armed guards come out of the wings, and they come and they say, "We're just going to take you away and take your daughters and your sons and your wife away, and you guys will work it off in debtor's prison." And the thought, the mere thought of him and his precious wife and his littles working in debtor's prison, sun up to sundown, being tortured by the creditors from sun up to sundown, just flashed through his mind, and he knew that that's not exactly what he wanted for his family. So he pleads and he says, "Please, I'll pay it back somehow. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but please just have mercy on me." And all of a sudden the king's countenance changes. He heard his plea for mercy and he was moved. He changed his tone, he changed his tune, and he said, "Okay, I forgive you. You're free to go." Now he probably thought he was free to go to start working, to chip away at that debt he owes, on that unpayable debt. But imagine his joy when his boss says, "Now let me be clear just before you leave, let me be clear. You're not just forgiven, your debt is forgiven. You don't owe me a dime. You're free to go, debt free." Does that story sound familiar? It should. From the time we were born, we owed God a debt. And every time we sinned against Him, we wrote one more check, we signed one more receipt, and we just kept piling up our debt. And now we come to church this morning knowing just how much we owe Him, because we know what we've done to Him and to others. And we know there's no possible way we can pay back God everything we owe Him. We can't do enough good deeds. We can't give enough money to missions to chip away at our debt. The prophet Isaiah said, "I've been looking at the books, and I've seen everything you put together. All of your righteousness stacked to heaven together amounts to nothing but a pile of filthy rags." But God is holy. And His holy nature demands that somebody will pay the price for every sin that's ever been committed. His holiness does not allow Him just to sweep our sins under a righteousness rug and forget about them. Somebody has to pay for our sins. But God knows. He's looked at the books. He knows we're spiritually bankrupt. He knows our account is overdrawn. Remember the first beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit. He knows we're poor. So God knows we can't pay the debt we owe. So He came Himself to pay the debt we owe. We owe it, but Jesus paid it. It was our debt, but He paid it. If you've never heard the gospel before, here it is. God loves us so much, He came from heaven to earth. He, God, walked among us. God lived with us. God felt what we feel. And a holy God hurt where we hurt. And after He had done no wrong to anybody, we crucified Him. And He shed His sinless blood that would pay for all of our sins. The Apostle Peter wrote it like this: "Who His own self bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." It was our sin that hung on the tree, but thank God He was willing to pay a debt we owe. Paul wrote it like this: but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Long before we ever darkened a church door, Jesus died for us. Before we had anything to ever offer him, he laid down his life for us. Before we decided we're going to live for him, he decided he was going to die for us. That's the gospel. That's the good news. He paid a debt that we owe. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Every drink, every drug, every night you wish you could erase but cannot. Every lie you told you'd love to take back but can't. Every time you lost your temper. Every time you failed God or hurt your fellow man. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. He does not demand we pay our sins back. But he does demand we repent of our sin. We ask him for mercy. And then we turn from our sin. Don't let a TV or a radio personality preacher confuse you. Yes, our God is love. Yes, he loves us no matter what we have done. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But the other often unspoken side of the same divine coin is our God is holy. And while he loves us no matter what we've done, his holiness demands somebody will pay for the sin that we have committed. So he took it upon himself to pay the penalty for our sin. The way we get that taken care of in our individual life is we repent of our sin. His love says, I love you no matter what, but his holiness says, but you need to repent. And so when we repent of our sin, Almighty God, Holy God of heaven, he forgives us. One songwriter wrote it like this, and I love this song. I can't sing for anything, but I love it. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Thank God he was willing to pay the penalty for our sin. Oh, thank God he was willing to pay the penalty for our sin. And thank God he is ever willing to forgive us of our sin when we repent. Our free, forgiven friend ran down the steps into the streets, but his joy was short-lived. If there was a musical score behind this story, this is the time where they would silence the trumpets and they would cue up the steel guitar and that eerie minor chord. The scripture says he found somebody who owed him some money. He's just been forgiven of zillions of dollars, but he found somebody. He didn't just bump into him at Chick-fil-A. He found him. He hunted him down. He posted posters asking if anybody had seen him. And finally, he found him. And when he found him, he said, hey, you owe me money. Yes, you do. You owe me 100 denarii. That's 20 bucks. And you're going to pay what you owe me. And when he told his friend who owed him some money, he's going to pay back every dime, his friend fell to his knees and said, please, sir, please be patient with me. I don't have it right now, but I'll get it for you. And his mind flashed, maybe I'll get a second job. I'll deliver the Galilee Gazette, or I'll mow a few lawns. I can make a few bucks. I can do this in a couple weekends. Just give me a little time and I'll pay back every dime I owe you. Does that scene look familiar? And rather than say, no big deal, bro, you're good. He grabbed him by the throat. I won't do it because you're bigger than I am. He grabbed him by the throat and said, you'll pay me everything you owe me. And he had his friend thrown into debtor's prison to be tortured and tormented until he could finally pay his friend back every dime he owed him. Some of those servant friends around, they saw that whole scene play out. Man, they ran back to the king and they tattled on the servant, they said, you'll never believe what we just saw. You know, the guy you just forgave a zillion. Yeah, he's pretty happy, isn't he? Actually, no, not really. He just found somebody who owed him 20 bucks, and he forced him, demanded him that he would pay back the money, and he didn't have the money, so he threw him into debtor's prison until he could pay back every dime he owed him. Now, the phrase that kept jumping out to me in the story is fellow servant. The man who owed zillions was a fellow servant. The man who owed him 20 bucks was a fellow servant. It occurs four times in one story. Jesus was saying, it doesn't matter what your brother or sister has done to you. It doesn't matter if you're right and they're wrong. It doesn't matter. You're not better than they are and they're not better than you are. We have one king and we are fellow servants. In God's kingdom, the debtor does not stand lower than the creditor. We are fellow servants. We have one king. We all serve him. And all of us have been forgiven of a mammoth debt to God we could never pay back. But understand Jesus' story and his sermon. He taught we will not be forgiven if we refuse to forgive. Mercy gotten begets mercy given. Jesus did not say the happier are those who have never been hurt. He said the happier are those who have been hurt and still make a conscious choice to forgive. I read an amazing statement about mercy. It reads, only those who have been hurt have the opportunity to show mercy. If you have been hurt, you are a candidate to be merciful to someone else. Christians are men and women, students, children who are marked by mercy. And since we have been forgiven, we should be the first and the fastest to forgive. When the king heard about this story, you can imagine his response. He pounds his fists on the throne. He says, you bring him here now. So they go running through the street and they find him and they said, hey, the king would like to talk to you. Well, this time he ascended those palace steps, but a little more arrogantly because he doesn't know anybody anything. He walks into the throne room and says, hey, what's happening, your majesty? And flashes that $1,000 smile. But the king wasn't smiling. He said, you wicked servant, I forgave you of zillions of dollars. Did you hear me? Zillions with a Z of dollars because you just asked me for mercy. And he smiled so wide at the reminder that he had been forgiven and was debt free. And the king said, what is the matter with you? Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant who owes you just a few bucks like I had mercy on you? And his arrogance left as quickly as it came. And here came the sentence. The king said, tell you what, you deserve the same sentence you doled out. Be very careful when you refuse to show mercy, because many times the same judgment you judge is the same judgment you will be judged. The king said, I'll do this. I will give you the same sentence you just gave. You'll pay me back every penny you owe me. And when the king finished that sentence, those guards dragged that merciless servant off to start serving his sentence and chip away at that unpayable debt. Sentenced to debtor's prison, tortured day and night, to work day and night until he paid back everything he owed. Then Jesus calls for the musicians when he says, so will my heavenly Father do to every one of you if you do not from your heart forgive your brother his trespass. I wish it wasn't true, but it is. You've probably been hurt by a fellow servant. If you haven't been, you will be. Even in the church, because we're humans, there's a brother or sister in the church who maybe they gossiped about you and now you don't talk to them because you don't trust them. Maybe you confided in them and they shared it all over social media. Maybe they said something to your kids or about your kids and now you feel like those comments are the reason your kids aren't in church. Maybe they lied to you or lied on you or cheated you. Somewhere, sometime, a fellow servant, even in church, hurt you, and now you want them to hurt. And I am sorry anybody, especially in church, has hurt you. It should not happen, and I'm sorry it does. But if we want to have joy, and we want to be blessed, and we want to be happy, and we want to be forgiven, and we want to be right with God, we must learn to do what's right, even when it's hard. We must show mercy, if for no other reason than God has shown us immeasurable mercy. For Jesus made it very clear, if you want mercy coming your way, you have to send mercy somebody else's way. Now that doesn't mean you have to go for coffee with them every day, but it does mean you need to forgive them. And I heard somebody say, true forgiveness happens when you can pray a blessing on somebody who hurts you and mean it. When you get down on your knees and you say, not God, get them. But it might look like this the first time you pray. God, bless them. When you can get to the point where you pray a blessing on them and you mean it, you have forgiven. Remember, the Beatitudes are like a ladder. Walk with me through them, would you? The only way to get to the top rung, and I'm a little scared when we get to number 8, but the only way to get to the top rung is to climb the one below it. So Jesus said, we all start off right here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When you realize I have nothing to offer God, he has everything to offer me. That's the first rung. Then blessed are those who mourn. When we realize I have nothing to offer God, it will cause us to mourn over our sin. And we'll climb a little up closer to the ladder. And as we climb closer to the ladder, we're getting closer to God. Then blessed are the meek. When you have the power to hurt somebody, but you don't, that's a sign of meekness. And then last Sunday, we learned blessed are those who, yes, hunger and thirst for righteousness, exactly. You want to be filled with the things of God. He said, if you'll hunger and thirst, I will fill you. Now we come to the one today. When you're hungry for God, you want His nature. You want Him to fill you. His nature is that of mercy. Mercy rejoices against judgment. If God has to err on one side, He will err on mercy. But we come today to this step, and only after we've climbed those previous steps can we get to this one. Blessed are the merciful. God today in this sanctuary is looking for people who are marked by mercy and people who will allow their lives to mark others' lives with mercy. How many know we've been forgiven of a great debt? And how many know we need to forgive everyone else of the debt they have done to us? Brother Joe, if you'll go ahead and just play that background music for a moment. When I was in Porto Alegre, Brazil, Bishop and I have both been there, but when I was in Porto Alegre, Brazil, I was in the city. Max Lucado tells a story about a young man named Daniel who lived there. Daniel's a big guy. He spent his whole life lifting weights and training other people how to lift. So he was working at a gym, and he dreamed one day he was going to own his own gym. So Daniel went to the bank, and he talked with the banker, and they agreed to finance him. If he could just find somebody who would co-sign for him, they would give him the money that he could build and buy his own gym. So he asked his brother. They filled out the applications together. The bank looked over them and they called him back and they told him, good news, you have been approved. You can build your gym. Daniel's thrilled about it. He gets to have his dream. So right after work, he went to the bank to pick up the check to start working on his dream. And the banker was surprised. He saw Daniel. He said, well, what are you doing here? So I came to pick up the check. You promised that. You said, we're approved, right? Oh, yeah. But your brother was by here. He picked up the check. He paid off the mortgage on his whole house with that one check. So now Daniel's upset. And big. So Daniel stormed over to his brother's house, knocks on the door. And his brother answers the door. Raylibug, come up here for a second. His brother was cruel but smart. Come on up here. His brother looks out, sees it, it's Daniel, and he opens the door like this. Hey, hermano. He knows if his brother sees his niece, he won't hurt him. He was right. But he let his brother know in no uncertain terms. Thank you. No uncertain terms, when you get alone, you're mine. So Daniel's seething, boiling about all of this. He goes back to work, and now he's working. Now he's working not just to pay off his own debt, but he's working to pay off the debt that paid off his brother's house. And doesn't have his gym. He's got to pay off his brother's house before he gets to open up a gym. But he met an American missionary, and that missionary told Daniel about Jesus and told Daniel that there was a man who came, God in flesh, and paid off a debt you owed. And although Daniel owed him a great debt, Jesus paid Daniel's debt. And Daniel, even though he was forgiven of his sins, he could not find the place in his heart to forgive his brother of his. He didn't see his brother for another 2 more years, but at the end of those 2 years, he spotted him walking down one of those busy streets, and he was all by himself, no niece there to shield him. His brother didn't see him coming, and this is what happened in Daniel's own words. I saw him, but he didn't see me. I felt my fist clench and my face get hot. My initial impulse was to grab him by the throat and choke the life out of him. But as I looked into his face, my anger began to melt. For as I saw him, I saw the image of my father. I saw my father's eyes. I saw my father's look. I saw my father's expression. And as I saw my father in his face, my enemy once again became my brother. His brother turned to run, but Daniel was too fast, too strong. Grabbed him, reached him, grabbed him by the shoulder and hugged him. And two brothers who had been estranged for 2 years because of hurt caused by one's wrong, stood in the middle of a sea of people. They hugged and wept, and two enemies became brothers again. because of the mercy of God. We are a people marked by mercy. Would you stand with me? Mercy gotten begets mercy given. I hope you've never been wronged by anybody in the church. I hope you've never been wronged by anybody in your family. But there's a very good chance you have. But if you have, hear me this morning. It's time to climb the ladder, get closer to God, ask Him to fill you with His nature, and it's time to forgive them. Jesus made it very clear, if we want to be forgiven ourselves, we have to be willing to forgive others for the things they have done to us. So here's what I'd like to do our altar call this morning. Rather than come around the altar, I'd like you where you're standing just to think of somebody whom you have not yet forgiven. You may be clear. Today there may be nobody in your life you hold a grudge against, and if so, thank God for that because you are free. But if there's anybody in your life you have been wronged and you have not yet forgiven them, I just want you to think about who that is right now. And in a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of repentance for ourselves and in a prayer of forgiveness for them. And I believe God is going to free His people today of bitterness and grudges and unforgiveness that have bound His people. He's going to set us free. If you have somebody in your mind, now don't just make up somebody because that's not healthy. If there's somebody in your mind you have not yet forgiven, they've hurt you and you still have something against them, you can't pray a blessing for them and mean it, I want you to think about them. And now I want, while you have them in your mind, I'm going to pray a prayer of repentance. Pray with me. Ask the Lord to forgive us, and then we're going to ask God to help us to forgive them. Jesus, today I have nothing to offer you. I am poor in spirit. I have nothing to give you that's worth anything. But I ask you to forgive me, God. You have been merciful to me. You have covered my sins in your own blood. You have taken care and paid the penalty for my sin, a debt you did not owe that I owed and you paid, and I am so thankful. I ask you today once more, God, forgive me for anything I have done to you or to anybody else. Forgive me, God, if I have hurt you or hurt somebody else. I ask you to wash over my soul once more and forgive me for my sin. And today, God, I pray if there's anybody in my life, anyone who has hurt me, anybody against whom I might hold a grudge or against whom I am bitter, God, if there's anybody in my life I have not yet forgiven, I can't pray a blessing on them. I ask you, God, to forgive me for holding unforgiveness in my heart. And today I forgive them. Today, God, I don't pray for justice, but I pray for a blessing. I don't pray that you would get them, but I pray, Lord, you would help them and heal them and forgive them and bless them in the name of Jesus. Help us as a church today to let go of some things, to lay them down at the altar, to lay them down at an altar we are building, and to allow you to free us of unforgiveness and bitterness and grudges. I ask you, God, to help us to be the church you have called us to be, a church marked by mercy. Help us to be merciful the next time somebody hurts us. God, I pray, help us to be merciful to them. Next time somebody owes us anything, may we be merciful to them as you have been merciful to us. I thank you this morning, Jesus. I love you. I praise you today, God, for your mercy and your grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Today's altar call really begins when today's altar call ends. There's somebody you might have to tell them, I'm sorry for the way things happened. And you might even have to have the humility. You might have to be poor in spirit enough to say, I'm sorry for what happened between us. And I'm asking you to forgive me, and I will freely forgive you. Understand, forgiveness doesn't work two ways all the time. There will be people who wrong you and they will never ask you to forgive them. We're not responsible for them asking us. We're responsible for us offering it whether they ask or not. Nobody asked Jesus to forgive him for crucifying. Forgive them for crucifying him. But on a cross between heaven and earth, he said, Father, forgive them. Whether they ask it or not, they need it. Forgive them. And so you might have to call or text somebody or write somebody or visit somebody and let them know, hey, I know we haven't talked in a while. It may be family, maybe church family, maybe whoever. And just say, you know, I'm sorry for the way things were. Forgive me. I forgive you. Let's start over. I believe God is going to set us free. Now, here's what I'd like to do to close out our altar call. Whether or not you have anybody in your life that you haven't forgiven is inconsequential. Here's what I'd like us to do, all of us, everybody. Before you leave church today, I'd like you to come up here symbolically. I'd like you to just take whatever it is that you had in your heart before you came to church, just kind of lay it on the altar and just walk away. Let that be a reminder that I gave it to God today and I won't pick it up. So everybody, no matter who you are, whether or not you had anybody in your mind or not, I'd like you to just come up here today, drop it off at the altar, and walk away. Let it be a symbol that you've given that to God and you're going to leave it in His hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we could see in the Spirit right now, we'd be seeing some amazing things that are happening right now in this service, at this altar. We'd be seeing some powerful things that are happening right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name today, Lord. Praise your name today, Lord. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Giving it to you, God. Giving it to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's just lift our hands right now and thank God for freedom. Let's thank God for freedom right now. Lord, I love you. God, I love you. I thank you. You're so merciful to us. You're so merciful to us. May we ever and always be merciful to others. Lord, I love you and I thank you for your great mercy. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Does anybody, well, in fact, here, I saw these here on the pulpit back at the very end of July. God filled Terry and Andrea Adams with the gift of the Holy Ghost right here at the altar. We're going to celebrate with both of you. Come on up here. I've got a certificate. Come on up, fine folks. Thank God for what He's done. Thank God for what He's done. If there's anybody in the house who wants to be baptized in Jesus' name, never been baptized, to have your sins washed away, congratulations. You're welcome. Congratulations, my brother. Congratulations. Love you, bud. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name to have your sins washed away, but you want to be, before we dismiss, if you just raise your hand or have questions about it, just raise your hand and we'll baptize you in Jesus' name. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're going to baptize Reagan Green, Brother Green's granddaughter, in Jesus' name. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Well, if you are a guest, please meet me in the cafe. Give us a chance to get to know you, a chance for you to get to know us a little bit better. You can ask any questions you want to ask, and we also have a gift for you. Small groups this afternoon, no small group at the sanctuary tonight. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. If you have any donations you can bring for the seniors' rummage and craft sale, please see Sister Hines.